Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Well, good morning, Kenneth.
Great to be with you.
Did you want to do the Chris Farley blah, blah, blah? Because I don't. Ladies and gentlemen, I have talked about the concept of Brown's prison for a long time and how we were just a number in a cell and we have the cup out waiting for the water and the bread and we have the mirror out. We're passing kites to one another. I've done that for a while, and yesterday I think I might have found my situation where you are not in the creek 500 yards outside of Shawshank. But I think at this moment, Tone, we may be sitting on the drain pipe holding the rock waiting for the thunder. After that press conference yesterday, and, you know, there were some things like, you know, you've always been the one to say, like, these situations tend to go away. You always have a way to say these things. We're like, these things tend to figure themselves out.
I think
Kenny.
I famously said it the week of the of the game that he got injured.
Yes, you did. You're like, Ken, you know, these things, they have a way of figuring themselves out. And it's always when you say it, for whatever reason, it's reassuring to me. When you say things like that, like, Ken, I know how these people operate. These things have a way to work themselves out. And when I hear about a setback, I go, there it is. And then when I see the over-the-cap report that the Browns have $44.3 million of insurance on his contract and that would provide some cap relief for the Cleveland Browns, the insurance is based on injury, that would provide some cap relief. I go, oh, hello, hello.
Setbacks pave the way for comebacks.
I tweeted that yesterday. A lot of people did not know where that was from. I went, whoa, 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 whoa. Because a lot of people go, how dare you think that this guy's going to come? And guys, woo, easy.
What was your first thought when you heard him say that, casually drop that before he took questions? You know, he got done with his monologue to start out. It was a very formatted, and then he got to, he said embarrassment.
Honestly,
right? They were totally embarrassed.
I went, well, then when was the video of him dancing on the side of the freeway?
It was the first thing I think all of us were thinking because we had all seen that video. Now, technically,
there was a video of him and his girlfriend dancing.
Now, we don't follow him
alongside of a road. I have no idea.
A lot of us are not able to follow him on certain social media outlets.
Yeah.
So sometimes you see a video, and the internet now, everybody's got good cameras over the last how many years. You never truly know when something actually was filmed, which is kind of a hard thing to, like, I'll see like shows where I'm like, when did this happen? Oh, that was 8 years ago. I'm like, oh, man. Because when I was young, when you would see video, you'd know if it was from the 60s, the 70s, 80s, or 90s.
Yeah.
Now, it's like something happened 10 years ago, and people could post it as if it happened yesterday. When was his dancing on the road where he clearly set up a tripod and him and his girlfriend seemed like they were having a lot of fun?
I don't know.
Did anybody?
The day it came out, or apparently the day it was done was December 26th.
Okay.
That's what I had read.
So could the setback have happened after?
I don't know.
Did that cause
the
setback?
They said they found out about it on Sunday. He said he found out about it on Sunday. Here is the potential bad. This is Barry here. This is the potential bad news for Deshaun Watson with the comment about the setback.
We did learn that he did have a setback in his, you know, Achilles recovery. We don't have all the details and everything yet, but it obviously extend the recovery process for him.
It went from surprise to holy bleep. I was listening back to it, and it went from surprise to holy bleep. Tone was right. That's what it was. I was surprised to hear that. And then, because I had been saying, like, guys, he's not going to play for the Browns again. Like, they can't put him back out there. And I had had several people texting me going, he's going to play for the Browns again. You better just get yourself ready. It's going to happen.
We had a lot of people, I think, in both of our corners.
Yeah.
We were getting information like, you guys understand, he is absolutely going to have a shot. And me and you were just like, no, he won't. Mm. No, he's not. This fan base is over it. Jimmy Haslam is over it. The Browns are over the Deshaun Watson experience. And I kind of think Deshaun Watson is over it.
Guys, they were in the stadium the day that happened. And I stand by the fact that I think that there was no way a majority of people were excited about what had happened. And I do think that there were people who were excited, and there were other fans that got after them for being excited about it. But they know how you feel about it.
Were they excited about yesterday's news?
Who, the Browns or the fans?
Everybody.
I don't think they want to see him
again.
I don't want him to be hurt anymore, but I just don't think people want to see him again.
You saw him dancing in the video. You feel like things can't be all that upset about that. Can't be all that bad in his world. Yeah. So do you think
I can't believe in that bad of a life.
Even if you were giving Cleveland fans the benefit of the doubt, you didn't want to make them seem like Philadelphia fans booing a Browns player, cheering or laughing at someone's misfortune.
Every fan base has a moment they're not so terribly proud of.
What do you think the percentages were yesterday?
Of people who were excited?
Yes, when that news came out. Because for me, it felt like 90%.
It's an honest show somewhere in the category. Well, no, because I don't think a lot of people knew what it meant at first. And then when they saw that, hopefully we were talking about it throughout the afternoon. Kenny, like, I listened to a little bit of Nick and Jonathan. I didn't get a chance to listen to everything. Hopefully it got out there that there's insurance taken on here. There's cap relief. Like,
well, I want to get to that.
There is a path out of here. This is what I'm saying. There is a sewage pipe out of the prison right now.
Kenny, I think even his defenders, the ones that doggedly defend him on social media, which I can't believe exist anymore, I think even they were relieved because they don't have to do it anymore. They don't have to do the dog and pony show.
I haven't looked at that. I can only talk to the people I talk to, the fans I talk to. I would say a lot of people were a little relieved by it, I got to tell you. But here's Barry went on further. And about whether or not the setback is going to impact Watson being ready for 2025.
It's too early to tell. I don't have all the information. Obviously, in a situation like that, you know, I don't want to rule out anything with a major injury. We are still collecting all the information. And then, you know, obviously, our focus is making sure that he can get as healthy as possible.
He did admit later on that the trade hasn't gone so well so far.
You know, to date, the trade hasn't gone as we had hoped or anticipated, hasn't gone how, you know, Deshaun has hoped or anticipated. I think certainly a big part of it is, you know, the stop start with availability and that we never have gotten consistent performance at that position. I think there's a variety of factors in that. That's not just, you know, not just the quarterback.
I would say that part of that is fair. And I would say part of that is like, yeah, no kidding. You haven't gotten consistent play out of him. He did avoid the question about whether or not Deshaun Watson is still a winning quarterback.
Andrew, assuming that Deshaun Watson comes back healthy, have you seen enough and what have you seen that leads you to believe that he can still play winning football for the Cleveland Browns?
Our focus with Deshaun is getting him healthy, and it really starts with that and making sure that he's physically right where, you know, he can play to the best of his ability when he's on the field, and that's really where our focus is with him.
We all know the truth here. I think the conversation had to be had it has to be had amongst us. Do you think he even wants to play? I don't think he wants to play for the Browns anymore. I don't know if he wants to play football anymore. I don't think he wants to play in Cleveland. And I think that this is, I can't allege anything or speculate much because of HIPAA and all the other stuff. But I'm thinking, this fairly works out in everybody's best interest. I don't see he's not having any money taken away from him, is
he? No.
So, and they have insurance with the cap relief of him.
Okay, that part of it. We gotta explore that a little bit.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I could see some rivals in the division raising all sorts of warning signs. Wait a second. You just take insurance out. He can get injured.
Well, teams take out insurance on guys.
Absolutely, that happens. Where did he get injured again? The Browns just found out about it yesterday.
But it's a setback in the recovery stemming from an injury that happened on the field.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but where did the setback occur? Where was he in the team facility?
All I know is that it leads the way for comebacks. I don't know where it happened.
I'm saying that something tells me the NFL fought tooth and nail for the suspension. They fought tooth and nail to seemingly, what did Browns fans say? We were being penalized in a lot of this fight that was going on.
Yes.
So now we think the Browns are going to be given a mulligan by the NFL.
No.
We think they're just going to allow the Browns to be freed of this.
So we have to deal with seemingly an investigation or something like this.
Seem shady to you yesterday? Because that's what the internet agreed. That seemed pretty shady yesterday.
They took insurance out. He said he had a setback on it. It's a performance-based business, Anthony.
There is absolutely a debate about whether or not forget about whether Haslam's going to get his money. Who cares about that? Who cares if Haslam's getting?
I care about the cap relief.
Nobody cares. The cap
and
relief
moving
part
forward.
Is,
that's what I care about. Yeah, given, I don't care about their money.
Why wouldn't every contract for every premier player be guaranteed and then insured, and then every team gets cap relief? Something tells me the other teams in the division are going to go, wait a second, hold on, that can happen. All right. Now, we are going to change the way we do contracts no punitive nature to the contract.
So I will paint this out. I'm a person who hopes that they can get out from under this as much as... And I know you are, too.
I do, too.
You are looking
I'm
at this from the prism of other NFL teams.
Kind of fishy yesterday.
All right. So
the timing of it, how the Browns learned about
this
it.
Is a
Browns just learned about Anthony, it the day before, Anthony, or did they just get their story straight?
This is a...
Why wouldn't that have been leaked?
Reckless speculation.
Didn't anybody ask themselves why wouldn't he also want that information out earlier, but it didn't get leaked, and then they all kept it buttoned up, and then they unveiled it yesterday in front of the Browns media in a press conference? That's never how this stuff gets done. Word always gets out on something like this. And then think about how we don't know anything about JOK.
Maybe they did just find out about it yesterday. Maybe they did just find out about it yesterday.
Yeah, maybe they did.
So, so let me throw this at you here. All right. Now, again, I'm coming from a person who's hoping that there's going to be relief and
we can move on
from this and start to have our football halfway house start to work out in our direction,
Kenny,
and we could get back on our feet
when
here.
When you miss the putt in front of Bob Barker, you're hoping he unveils that sign that says hole in one or two.
So
everybody's hoping for that.
So,
that's awesome. That's a good feeling.
It's a performance business, Anthony. It's a performance business. He at any time, if you can't go, you can't go. Remember, Joe Hayden famously said it. You can either run with Antonio Brown or you can't run with Antonio Brown. And if you can't go, well, damn, you can't go. How many times have you said it? How many guys in the NBA, you mention this all the time, when it was starting to become a problem, I don't see load management as big of a problem as it used to be, but how many guys just can't go today, coach? Mm-hmm. Just ain't going to be able to do it today. He very well could do the same thing. That's perfectly fine. Take all the time you need. I see a road where there's insurance on this. I don't want to fantasize about it, but good God. Maybe you start the season on IR. You have your three-week window. Just not able to do it this year. Going to need to stretch this recovery out. And then in 2026, he is let go. You would have a count. You would have a salary cap hit at some juncture. That's not what it would be this summer. And in 2026, he's let go and we all move on. He can come into the building. He can do whatever he needs to do, but we are moving on. That's why, again, you're going to get a quarterback probably at number two. I would say 98% sure I think they're going to get a quarterback at number two because jobs are certainly on the line here. And you're going to bring in a veteran quarterback. You're going to bring in some sort of a vet. And the Deshaun Watson conversation, that's all going to go away. I'm telling you, this is the way I see it. And maybe I'll end up being wrong. Some people out there are going to hope I'm being wrong. But the stuff like it's starting to go away. I don't think he really wants to be here.
No.
I think they wish it would have worked out. So I can't say they don't want him here. I think they wish it would have worked out the right way. I mean, good God, look what's invested there. Look at the jobs that are going to be on the line here shortly. I think they wanted it to work out. It's not working out. They know it's an untenable situation with the fan base. They want some goodwill with the fans going into 2025. That's why Miles isn't going anywhere. This is why I think they're going to work out something with Nick in some regard. They want some goodwill with the fan base to be able to go forward here. So I'd be surprised if he's up on the side of the building coming up for fall of 2025, that he's really on the website or anything else.
Yeah.
And at some point, I will not care about the videos forwarded to me of he eating dinner or he hanging out. He can hang out with his girlfriend all he wants. It's his girlfriend. I don't care. They can be together. It won't matter to me anymore. And I think that's the way a lot of Browns fans see it. I would much rather have knockdown, drag-out fights over Shador Sanders and Deion Sanders and whatever you want to say there. And Cam Ward, I'd rather have that any day, every day for the rest of my life than anything we've been through over the last 3 years.
We're in agreement
Give
there.
Give me that. Sign me up right now. And I think that they know that with the fan base, and that's why they will move forward. For better, for, I can't say for worse, for better or for not so much better. Because I don't think it can get much worse than where it is right now.
I'm fine with it. I'm fine with closing the book on Deshaun. Like, how much do you think he's even going to be mentioned on this show other than why did they make the trade? Other than that, how much do you think he's even going to be mentioned by our callers?
But I'm not going to be surprised if we hear about like Mike Brown causing a stir down in Cincinnati going, that seems fishy to me. But this isn't like you're taking a piece of rebar to a fender here. This is a player and whether or not he feels up to play. And it's a performance business. And if he's not up to play, you have taken out insurance for something that has happened on the field. And I see a way out for everybody, for the Browns, for Deshaun Watson, for the Browns fans.
I'm a little surprised to hear you say
he gets to keep all his money. Ain't my money.
Well, he's always going to get to keep the money.
There you go.
That was never going to be altered.
Some people gave the idea that they thought he should give some of it back, which I couldn't condone that.
Like the college football coaches.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe he can give it to his coaching staff. I'm a little surprised to hear you say you're 98% sure you think they're taking a quarterback.
98% sure.
I kind of feel like they're trading down in this draft.
Oh, you want me to tell you why next,
even though
it's about last night?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
All right, I'll tell you why next, coming up on The Fan. You asked me, I want to get to some of these calls here, 216-474-0092, about the Barry press conference and this setback with Deshaun Watson looks like an out. It looks like we might have a parole hearing here from Brown's prison, and we might be able to get – we might be staying in the Brewer sooner than we thought, which would be for Browns fans out there, it would be great. Because I don't think they're – by the way, if they move on from Deshaun, if they're actually able to move on from this, right, it's not like all of a sudden next year they're going to be 11-6 or 12-5. I'd love it to be that way. And maybe – for all I know, maybe it will. I will hold out hope for anything because there will be new life. But at least you get the start. You know, that's why I make the analogy. Like, most people don't get to leave – when I watch the movies, like – Brooks didn't just get to leave prison and become a millionaire. Like, he went to the halfway house. I know how it ended. I don't want to talk about that. But either way, like, hopefully we can start to begin the steps to mend. Because that's what I think that's what I think we need. That's what this franchise and this fan base needs. This is as down as I've seen this franchise since I've started here at The Fan. And that would mean my entire life. They are as negative and downtrodden with this franchise as I've ever seen it. And think about the type of years that takes into account. They know they need some goodwill. They know they do. They're getting killed on social media. I mean, they post the video of Rodney. They're getting killed.
Yeah, not allowed to do anything.
I mean, they're not. I know it's like, hey, they need to focus on winning and then they'll eventually. This is a step towards focusing on winning. Because, guys, it's been such a distraction and it's the same damn thing repeating itself. That's why we got so upset during 2021. Your teammates are tired of being asked whether or not they think you're terrible. And it started to happen again this year. And it casts a terrible pall over everybody in the room. It's like, we got to separate from this. This has to move on. And so now this gives you a chance to move on. But you asked me the 98% thing. I said I was 98% sure that they're going to take a quarterback at number 2 in the draft and they are going to bring in a veteran. They'll bring in a veteran before that. You said you think they're going to move down.
I was surprised. I know I heard Daryl in the afternoon show yesterday say that he thought they were definitely trading down. So it's interesting to hear how split the fan base is, that nobody seems to know how they're going to operate. Because what have you been told all year? Not a good quarterback class. Okay, but what have you been told about the available options. Kirk Cousins, worst season he's had in a long time. Aaron Rodgers, worst season he's had in a long time. Justin Fields couldn't even win the starting job in Pittsburgh. Like, there are not a lot of good options here, at least on paper right now. I can always try to sell you that a draft pick can be a lot better than you think he's going to be, because that just happened with a few of the guys in last year's draft class.
I got nothing that tells me this from anybody. I have no sourcing, no nothing. This is all based on my intuition. These are jobs that are hard to come by. For us, again, we look at it and go, what's best for the franchise? Because we're never going anywhere. We are general managers for life. So you don't want to waste your time with anybody you don't think is good. If you don't think Cam Ward is good, or you don't think Shador Sanders is good, you're not going to like hearing this. But these guys, Anthony, are they guaranteed 2026 if 2025 is a failure?
No.
Are they even guaranteed?
No, they're not
October?
Guaranteed next year.
Like, could you see them being fired at the end of September?
I said yesterday I could see a house cleaning if they start out 1-4,
so
1-5.
They believe that they're good at their jobs. No matter what we think, no matter what our confidence is, they believe they're good at their jobs. They can fix this thing. They're given this lifeline of another year. They haven't been fired yet. People can't believe they haven't been fired yet. So here they are. They have another lifeline. You're going to do what you can to build your way through. So if you just bring in Kirk Cousins and you end up going to 6-11, you're going to get fired.
Yeah.
If you bring in Aaron Rodgers, you end up going 6-11, or whoever you want to bring in, and you end up going 6-11 or 7-9 even, you're probably going to get 7-10, you're going to get fired.
Aaron just won 5 games this
year. There you go. If you bring in Cam Ward, and Cam Ward takes you, you start the season with a Kirk Cousins, and Cam Ward ends up finishing the season going, hey, you know, we might not have got where we need to go. Maybe you finish 9-8. How much better does 9-8 look? You don't even make the playoffs. How much better does 9-8 look with Cam Ward as the quarterback?
As long as Cam looks like he has a lot of potential.
As long as he looks like there's potential. And even though a fan is, I guarantee there's guys driving up 77 right now, shaking their head going, you got to be bleeping kidding me. It's their jobs that are on the line. It makes us get a little bit more desperate. And so you will start to talk yourself into it. They'll draft one of these guys, and I'll pray to God that they end up working out, that this ends up being the guy. And maybe for a glimpse of it, it will. It elongates the contract. So now you get to go into 2026's draft. And maybe Cam Ward, if he plays well, I'm just using him as the example, right? Cam Ward, if he plays well, that's going to make so-and-so look better. That's going to make DeJuan Jones look better. That's going to make Greg Newsome maybe look better, or Grant Delpit look better. Or maybe we'll get JOK back. Maybe we won't. I have no idea. God, I pray for him. Maybe we'll get some of these guys looking better, because when you're winning, they happen to look better. Or when you're winning more and there looks like there's a guy that can do something for you, they all look a little bit better. And so you're able to keep your job, and then you're hoping in 2026, okay, now we can really strike. Now this kid's going to really get going. Or it's going to end up in a big dumpster fire, and yeah, we'll blow it up. So that's where they're at right now. So it's our jobs are not on the line as fans. Their jobs are.
Well, yeah, you wonder the level of desperation now. People say, well, they're in job-saving mode. I just think they're going to do whatever they can to win games quickly. They're not thinking about the Browns 2 years from now, what's prudent for the organization. Mm-hmm. As I told you, what's probably prudent, it's the one fact nobody wants to hear, is, yeah, trade Myles Garrett, get 2 first-round picks, one of those in the following draft, and now you really have some ammo to cook with to try to rebuild the Browns in earnest. All right, nobody wants to sit around for that, so that's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. They're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. They're not going to do what's best for the future of the Browns, or even
that's
the near future.
That scares me. Yeah.
They're going to do a lot of things to try to win and win now. Fortunately, they have an owner that's going to spend money to do it, because mm-hmm. it does take a lot of money.
Yeah.
You don't think Cincinnati would love to have that kind of money, but I know no one's going to want to hear that right now.
And what I feel bad about, Tone, is everything you're saying is absolutely right, but that's the situation they've landed themselves in. I can't condone it. Guys, this is not a full-throated endorsement. I'm just telling you how I feel that they're going to operate. And what scares me the most is that, you know, if they took a Cam Ward and Cam Ward isn't ready to do it, and he goes out there and he falls flat on his face and they end up sucking up the room, we'll go right back to the well in a good draft class and go and pick somebody else, and he will be old news. So all of a sudden, this guy's going to go from a guy who helped resurrect Miami football to maybe in the course of 2 years, old news in the NFL. It's a scary scenario. That's how much a bad franchise or a franchise that's desperate can ruin a career. Ruin it. And we've seen that here before. I pray to God it doesn't happen here now. I pray. Because I do believe, hey, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. That's fine. I do believe that they will, if they decide to not take a rookie quarterback at that level and they go down, I will have a strong level of respect going, you did what you believe was right by the franchise and not what was just right about your own job. And I'll always be able to respect you for that. Because you can take a franchise quarterback, you can take a veteran quarterback, trade down, take Will Compton, take a Will Johnson, take one of them guys. You could trade down, you can do a lot of things. And I go, that's better for the overall health of the franchise and their future. Or you can do what you can to keep your own job because you know what you're doing and other people don't. You believe you know what you're doing. You believe other people don't. And you're going to take yourself a quarterback because you talk yourself to fall in love with it. You become desperate. And that's what a lot, and guys, 9 times out of 10 or probably 99 out of 100 in the NFL, that's what they end up doing.
Well, we got to start gearing up for pro days, for combines.
Yep. That's what they end up doing.
See if any guys even participate in those things anymore.
You guys aren't stupid. You guys know how this league works. We've been part of those teams that have done this many times. And gear up, I think we're going to get ready to do it again.
Hand sizes.
Ron in Warrensville Heights. You're first up in the fan. Hello, Ron.
Got big hands, Ron.
Yeah, what size hands you got, Ron? You got big mitts?
Big who?
Big hands. You got big hands?
Yeah, I got big hands.
Okay, go.
Okay, real quick, let me talk about... You guys, you know, is everybody blind? The Browns are 2 to 3 years behind. You have to trade Myles Garrett. They're 2 to 3 years behind. That's number one. Number two, Stefanski made a comment yesterday. He said they didn't get much from the quarterback position. Here's my concern. Here's my question. We didn't get much from him. We didn't get much from Stefanski. Or Paul Dip, whatever his name is. last but not least, Stefanski. Did everybody see? Last year he quit on the team. He gave up his position to become the head coach and let the dude be the offensive coordinator. Didn't the offensive coordinator win more games as offensive coordinator than Stefanski won this year as offensive coordinator? I'll hang up and listen.
I really don't understand that part of it. Well, the OC
they
thing.
They had different quarterbacks. So that was brought up at the time. They were like, how do we, if we were conducting a scientific experiment, we're not really isolating the variable here. We letting one coach.
We didn't have a control.
Yeah, exactly. The control. We had one coach handle one quarterback. We had another coach handle another. And so we're never going to be able to parse out who's responsible for what. And all we did the second half of the season was see Stefanski shaking his head. Was he shaking his head at the quarterback play, the decision-making, the calls that were made at the line of scrimmage, or who was up in the box? Well, the guy who was up in the box got fired the minute the season ended.
Yes, he did.
There was progress, though, on the phone calls, because yesterday the first call said trade Miles in the first sentence. Today, it was the second sentence.
It was the second sentence. Before I go to break, let me again ask you. This is almost rhetorical, but you've said it. You believe that Kevin Stefanski's job is on the line, right?
Yeah.
Okay, very much so. That he could be fired even halfway through 2025.
A quarter of the way.
Do you or do you not believe that he helped expedite the process to get to 3-14?
Yes.
You think Kevin Stefanski decided to trot out Bailey Zappe or Dorian Thompson-Robinson out there and eat this you-know-what in front of the fan base to trade down in this draft? A guy who has worked with quarterbacks his entire career and knows that quarterbacks are the most important thing. You think he did that to trade down in this draft?
I do have some thoughts on that.
They're taking a quarterback.
It's not just that pick, remember.
They're taking a quarterback.
People have got to know that second overall pick in the second round could loom large for them getting back into the first round.
Very true. Very true. 216-474-0092. But if you believe that there was participation by the head coach, and there's lots of evidence to it. And do that just so they could trade down and take an offensive tackle. Well, I am surprised you guys are so taken aback that I'm like, yeah, they're taking a quarterback. After all this, I mean, goodness gracious, this feels like you've been freed up. This whole setback deal that's been thrown in. Lyman, there's a question of accountability that's been brought up, whether or not the media was going after him or not going after him and things like that. Nick had brought up about whether or not there was accountability from the Browns yesterday. Said they took some accountability. Nick's still desiring a little bit more.
They gave you some accountability over the last 2 days. I still think it left me wanting, but it's so funny that the bar that has been set, we're so used to them saying nothing that when they give you just a little bit, you're like, well, accountability.
Or when they seem human for the first time in a very long time, right? And he's not just robotic. I mean, listen, we don't listen to Andrew Barry enough in general. So maybe we just need to, I don't know, but it's been 5 years. It's been long enough, even though he only speaks 2 or 3 times a year. I thought he did give a lot more than I was expecting today, and I appreciated that. I liked that he came out and said that he was embarrassed. I liked that it seemed like they have the right idea towards the future as well, but there's only so much you can do in a half-hour press conference.
Did you think that there was accountability? Nick did go a little bit further. Do you want to hear Nick a little bit further on this? All right, here's Nick even further about the accountability.
If I'm going to be the guy screaming about accountability, I have to give you at least a modicum, a single kudo to say, I thought this was embarrassing and I was part of the reason why this season went. But now it becomes, all right, you gave us that dollop of accountability. Now the other part of accountability is, what are the other moves? Dollop. If we say that you've gone 3 of the last 4 seasons are losing seasons. This season was 3-14. You made the worst trade in NFL history. And literally, the only thing I can say is, well, 2 coaches that we're going to fire. And, hey, we're going to bring in new quarterbacks. That's insulting.
Dollop of accountability.
Well, now, I guess my question is, the only accountability there is to give these guys is to fire them or re-examine the power structure. Well, if they were to take away power from Kevin Stefanski as a form of accountability, who would they give it to?
I don't know.
Give it to Andrew Barry. Well, then you're not holding Andrew Barry accountable.
Wouldn't this be, if Ken Dorsey's getting let go and Andy Dickerson's getting let go, who is accountable in making those decisions? Who made those decisions to bring those guys in?
Well, you heard yesterday, Andrew Barry, it was one of the rare times in the history of Andrew Barry that he hasn't said they've been aligned on decisions. He was like, no, those are the responsibilities of the head coach, Kevin.
This is what got me thinking. Because you're not going to get – everybody believe you are going to believe, unless somebody's let go, there's no actual accountability. I mean, that's the ultimate in accountability. You've been relieved of your duties. You're being held accountable for it. But, you know, I want to hear this. Because this is where it's going to make everybody in a tizzy. Yesterday, and this is towards the end, Jason Lloyd asked a decision on, okay, who brought in Ken Dorsey?
Going back to the offense and the changes that were made last year, is my understanding you reached out to Buffalo and got a pretty honest evaluation of Ken's strengths and weaknesses. Who was behind the decision to bring Ken here, and then why were you still comfortable bringing him on when you got a pretty blunt assessment from Buffalo of what didn't work there?
Number one, when it comes to the coaching staff, you know, that's Kevin's decision. It's Kevin's responsibility. Number two, like with anyone that we bring into the organization, we do a lot of diligence, as you reference. The offensive struggles, they were not just about Ken. Like, I think it would be unfair of us to suggest that because we didn't perform appropriately on offense that it would be pinned on him, because it's just not the case. You know, Ken was an excellent professional. He's a good coach. He's really strong in a number of areas, you know, particularly RPO game, the tempo world, the pass game, things like that. I think the circumstances this year across a variety of levels were not ideal for the offensive staff, just being quite blunt.
It leads me to more questions than answers, and it's what makes things murky and go, guys, just get rid of them all. This is what's going to lead people to do it, because I ask, okay, wow, Kevin was in charge of making this decision, because that's contrary to what you've told me, that he did not want to get rid of Alex Van Pelt.
He didn't. I thought it was very interesting.
So I wonder if you're going to take me to the same conclusion I'm thinking.
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead.
I question, at the end of last year, Kevin's looking at this team going, ain't going to work with this quarterback. Well, you ain't getting rid of the quarterback, so you better figure something out. All right, I got to find somebody who's worked with guys who can get out and scoot and move and do these things. Alex has to go. Let's bring in Ken Dorsey. Like, he didn't. So is Kevin, like, saddled with Deshaun Watson and then had to bring in another coach, which sounds like a terrible excuse for Kevin Stefanski at the end, if that's not true.
But isn't it hilarious? Like, when you really think about it, we all knew Ken Dorsey had been fired. The last time we had even heard about Ken Dorsey at all.
The first thing people said when his name was mentioned.
Outside of seeing the video from him in the coach's booth, it was, he's been fired. Okay. Yes. And then Andrew Barry's like, well, we did the due diligence. We talked to the Bills about why they fired him. Then we felt comfortable with bringing him in. That was a Kevin decision. That was a Kevin decision that was not noticed. He does not say, oh, everybody in the building was in unison like they normally say. Oh, we were all in lockstep. We were all on the same page. He's like, no, that the Stafford decisions, those are all, you know, Kevin's decision. Like, oh, that's interesting. That's a rare time that they were not unified on a decision.
Usually they're thought partners. Now this is Kevin's. Like, that's a great point that this is the first time we've actually had lot of clarity by one of them.
I've never heard them say anything like that. And then I think he realized, like, oh, I sounded like I threw Kevin under the bus there. Now I'm going to over-explain. Hey, he's a good football coach. These are all good football coaches. It just didn't work out here.
Just having to fire a good football coach.
Yeah. So somebody else in the league can have a good football coach and not us anymore.
Yeah.
You know, read between the lines. He obviously just didn't think it was a good fit. Didn't work.
No.
Hey, and fine. They hit the exit. I was happy. By the way, I didn't want them coming back with Ken Dorsey. That would have been the worst of all the evils. But the accountability thing, I'd love to hear Nick. Maybe I'll just text him. I'd love to hear Nick say how he thought that Kevin, in this case, should have been held accountable. Do you think he should have taken a pay cut? Do you think he should have... Outside of just firing him.
Well, I don't know how...
What would be the other way for any accountability to be taken?
If we're not going to... Because I'm just too big of a sissy to say I want guys fired. You know me. Other than firing them, I don't know how much more accountability we're going to have. Again, they're being ridiculed in every corner of the city, every corner of the fan base.
One's happy about the Browns situation. Losing. Yeah, people are turning in, at least publicly, they're turning in their season
and
tickets.
And it's amazing is that every time they showed them on TV, the color analysts would spend... I mean, they took time aside in the games because they were usually 20-point blowouts. They had plenty of time to do it. You know, Kevin Stefanski's been saddled with this quarterback here. He's a great coach. If he were to be let go... I mean, how many times did they say, you know, if they let go of him, they'd be making a serious mistake here.
From Troy Aikman to Ross Tucker, who did the final game of the year.
But their own fan base is looking at them going, you guys are crazy. These guys are terrible. But you're saying in the same token, this is not just a situation where he's a good coach and if we let him go, you're making a mistake. You've also told me on air, on TV, that this is the worst trade that's ever been made. Well, wait a minute. Didn't you tell me that Kevin went down there on the plane and showed him the offense and Deshaun wanted to be a part of the offense? So who's responsible for what? This is as close to accountability as you... Sorry for getting
outside
that.
Outside of firing people.
This is as close to accountability as you're going to get outside of letting people go. Because we're saying two different things at once, and it's just blowing the fans' minds right now to where they just want to wash their hands of the whole damn thing. You can't tell me the man's a brilliant coach, and then at the beginning of this whole thing, Kevin flew down there and showed him the offense. Oh, that's why. He didn't take the 230 guaranteed? Okay. He wanted to be a part of the offense, even though we were the first team that we were told we're not going to make it when he met with the teams. 10:30 in the morning on a Thursday.
So he's not blown away
by
all that.
I've seen the light by this offense, have you? Because you had to fire the offensive coordinator you had before and bring in another offensive coordinator that don't work. Okay. All right.
Now, Ken.
Again, can't be sitting there going, two-time coach of the year after all that. No.
We listened to those press conferences. We carried them live. There was one question. Unfortunately, we couldn't be at the press conference yesterday because we were wrapping up the show. There's one question that I think could have been asked that I wish I would have heard.